it, but we'll see what God does. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to teach your word. Lord, I thank you that I will teach it simply, that everyone here will understand what I'm saying, they'll take it, they'll apply it in their life, and they will get results. Lord, we thank you for your anointing that's present in this place that removes every burden and destroys every yoke. And Father, I thank you as well for all the testimonies that were brought forth. God, and the word that was spoken through those people who shared tonight, God, and we receive that word in our spirit right now. Lord, we receive that word. We thank you for it. And Father, we thank you that this is just the start. And God, that we're going to take hundreds of thousands of people through encounters by the time this is all said and done, with all the same kind of testimonies, God. And then they're going to go to school leaders and grow as leaders. And they're going to start leading cells, Father. And then they're going to start developing a team of 12 as you laid out for us to do in your word. Father, and each one of us is going to impact multitudes for you. Father, that our spiritual descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. God, not just my spiritual descendants, not just Aubrey's spiritual descendants or someone else who, you know, or my parents or people who we all consider spiritually, God, but each one of us, God. That promise is for each one of us. So thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you got your Bibles. I don't have my podium again here, so I'll just have to work off a pew. But it's all right. I'm a soldier. I can handle it. Pardon? No. Hebrews 8:11. If you're wondering, some of you are looking at me kind of nuts. Why aren't you grabbing one from the back? The reason is because integrity. How many know integrity is important? Amen? Amen. I think it's not St. Paul's is against it. If we had asked them, you know, they'd let us use one of their podiums. But they had asked that we leave their stage untouched because they're setting up for worship in the morning. And someone said, oh, well, what's the big deal? Just go up, grab a podium, put it down, and take that. Well, the problem is we said we wouldn't do that. And when you have integrity, when you keep your word, it doesn't matter if it's a big thing or a little thing, you do what's right. And that's the kind of people that God's looking for, is people who have integrity and do what's right in the little things and the big things. And I want to encourage every single one of us that that's an area God wants each one of us to grow and develop in. Can I tell you where to go? Hebrews 8:11. We're going to start the same passage we've been starting on for a while. How many know what we've been talking about the past number of weeks? Hearing God's voice. Come on, this side. What we've been talking about the past couple of weeks? We've been talking about hearing God's voice, and we've been studying, learning about that. And the scripture we've been basing it out of, Hebrews 8:11, God's talking. He says, and they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone's brother saying, know the Lord, but all will know me from the least to the greatest of them. And so how many of you see in this scripture we've been talking about, that it's God's desire that every single one of us know him? Amen? God's desire is that every single one of us know him. Not just the couple people. Not just the pastors. Not just the cell leaders. Not just the really spiritual people, quote unquote. God's desire is that every single person would know him. Now, when he uses that word know, he's not just talking about knowing about him. See, some of you know about me. You listen to me preach. I had a guy recently I was talking to. He says, I know you really well, Pastor Brendan. I said, why? He says, my fiance burned all your messages on CD. I listened to you every day on the way to work and on the way home. And so I know all about you. And it was like, I thought, well, that's good. He's listening to the word. But you know what? He knows about me, but he didn't really know me that well. Because he heard about me and he heard me talking about myself. But there's something about when you spend time with someone, when you talk with someone, you get to know them. How many know who Vince Carter is? Yes, he plays for Toronto. He plays for the Toronto Raptors. That's right. Well, see, a lot of us, now, who here knows Vince Carter, though? Shane, you want to hook us up with some tickets or an autograph or something, you know? See, we all know about him, but if we came walking down the street and ran up, Vince, security, quickly, you know? It's just like, you don't know him. But see, a lot of us know about God. But God's desire is not just that we know about him, not just that other people tell us about him, not just that we come to church every week and listen to Pastor Brendan talk about him, but that every single one of us would know him. I want everyone to say right now, I want you to say, all would know him. That's me. See, that's me. That's you. That's every single one of us. Now, we talked about, though, how do you get to know someone? Now, a lot of people said spend time with them, but the example you see is Rebecca, stand up for a second. Now, Rebecca and I are going to spend time together. Oh, you have to communicate. So we'd only really get to know each other on a certain level. Like if we spend time together, a buyer of flower, you come. What are you trying to set up here? And see, so So anyways, we can, we get to know each other looks and et cetera, but we really don't get to know each other on a deeper level unless we do what? We got to talk to each other, don't we? So if we want to know God, what do we got to do? We got to communicate with him, don't we? Now see, and the further point we talked about is it's not just talking to God, because if I'm talking to Phil, I'm not learning a lot about Phil, am I? If I want to learn about Phil, what do I have to do? I have to listen to him talking to me, don't I? Well, see, if God wants us to know him, and as we've been talking about for like the whole past month we were preaching on, that our number one call as a believer is to have an intimate, close, tight relationship with God. If that's what it is, then, but we can't get to know him unless we learn to talk to him and listen to him, then we're kind of stuck if we don't know how to hear God's voice, aren't we? How are we going to get to know him any better if we don't hear his voice? You won't, will you? You won't, will you? You guys, every week, one of these weeks, you guys are just going to start talking back to me the whole time. I'm just going to be shocked. I'm going to be like, oh, man, wow, they're getting it. And see, when I ask you a question, it's rude if you don't answer. I know you guys are, can I make one more point, too? If someone asks you to come to a meeting, right, and they say, okay, I want to have a meeting at 7 o'clock, right, how do you honor that person? Okay, so you come on time. What else do you do to honor that person? You come ready. Okay, what else do you do? You thank them for inviting you, so you come with a right attitude. What else do you do? You look good? Well, it depends. I mean, you look good, and if it's some people, you look even better. And so you look good. What else do you do? Don't make up a plan. Don't make other plans. So you prioritize that. Okay, well, here's the point I want you to catch on that tonight for bringing that up. How many of you believe God wanted you here at Church Without Limits tonight? Okay. And the rest of you, maybe not. I'll tell you, no one's here by accident. God's everyone here by plan. And here's what I want to throw out. If we're honoring God, what time should we show up at? I understand. Don't worry about the prayer thing. I'm not trying to catch you. Aha, prayer was at 6:30. You should have been there. I mean, if it's 7 o'clock, right, what time should we be there if we're honoring God? 6:55 to 7 o'clock, somewhere in there. Do you guys catch that? Now, if we show up late, now, every one of us is late for church sometimes. Well, I'm not, but besides me. Every single one of us, stuff comes up, but if we're consistently late, or if our attitude is one of we don't really care if we're late or not, are we honoring God? Or we're just saying we really didn't feel that he called this meeting or he wants us to be here. Here's what I encourage you. That demonstrates a certain heart attitude that affects your ability to receive. Like I said, every once in a while, all of us, stuff comes up. I'm not saying, you understand what I'm getting at? I'm talking about heart attitudes here. And I just want to keep on it as a pastor and just keep bringing it up in front of people and bring it towards people. At 7 o'clock, more than half of our people aren't here on a consistent basis. And that's not honoring to God. So I want to encourage you in that. Let's be honoring to God. Let's be honoring to God in our attitudes. Let's be honoring to God in our timing. Let's be honoring to God. Because a lot of us, honestly, I know because I used to be habitually late for a lot of stuff. I mess up every once in a while now, but I've been getting a lot better. But you know what? A lot of times you don't purposely do it like I'm going to be late. You just get caught up in stuff. You don't put a high priority on it. You cut your time too close. You know what? All this different stuff that happens. But I want to encourage you, let's put a priority on being on time. I'm looking forward to tonight, we get a couple of people trickling in, but everyone's here at 7 o'clock because the meeting starts at 7. People have all kinds of excuses. Well, we're young. So? We're running on something other than Canadian time. No, we're running on kingdom time because we're members of God's kingdom. And what's his time? He's always on time, isn't he? It's a good thing God's not late when you need his help. He's supposed to protect you in a car accident, but he showed up 5 minutes late. It kind of sucks. So he's like, oh, I forgot. And so I just want to encourage everyone, let's have a heart for that. Because every discipline affects every other discipline. And God said that those who are faithful in little will be made ruler over much. And listen, I'll tell you right now, for some of you, the reason that you're not seeing God promote you more is your attitude in regarding areas such as things of being on time in church. God sees those kind of things. And God checks your heart. So I encourage you, it's not just about, it's not okay just to kind of, to not care. I think that's the best way to put it. You know, sometimes you're late, but it bothers you. You want to be on time. Other people just don't care. And that's not good. And that's not God's way of doing things. And it's going to end up tripping you up in the things of God. So, I mean, everybody receive that? You get my heart on it. I'm not trying to knock people over the head. Oh, you're late. Nah, 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 and stuff like that. I'm saying it because there's a deeper principle here. And there's a deeper understanding. Amen? Amen. All right. So, anyways, back to what we're talking about. God wants every single one of us to know Him. Anyone who is passionate about knowing God, anyone who is intense about knowing God, then will have to be passionate and intense about hearing God's voice. You've got to be focused on that. Everyone's passionate about knowing God has got to be passionate about hearing His voice. Now, another thing I want to remind you from a couple weeks back, do not lose this point. You've got to, if you're going to hear from God, you've got to believe that God's speaking to you and that He wants to speak to you. If you have an attitude, well, you know, I just don't know, and God doesn't talk to me, and He talks to everybody else, but He never seems to want to talk to me, and, you know, I suck as a Christian, and then, and if you have that kind of attitude, you're not going to hear God's voice. You're not going to get it. Why? Because faith is hearing God's word and believing it, then seeing the response. Everyone say, believe, then receive. But see, a lot of us are waiting until we receive before we choose to believe. And that's backwards. Things don't work that way in God's realm. The way things work in God's realm is you hear that God says, I want to speak to you. So you say, you know what? I may not feel like it. I may not have had a lot of experience with it, but I believe that. I may have been born again for 2 weeks. God wants to talk to me. He didn't say He wants to talk to people who have been Christians for 2 years. You know, He doesn't have like the 1 year cutoff. After you've been a Christian for 1 year, then He'll start speaking to you. He said, my sheep know my voice. As soon as you get born again, you become a sheep. How many sheep do we have in here? We have a lot of sheep in here. And see, so you know His voice. Now, whether you've been born again for 2 days, God wants to talk to you. And if you'll choose to believe that and then step out in faith on it, it will happen. Listen, it will happen. It is going to happen. You just have to make a choice to believe it. You've got to hear the word that's being preached, that God wants to talk to you. And then you can start meditating that and speaking that yourself. God wants to talk to me. God wants to speak to me. Instead of walking around saying, oh, I never understand what God's saying. I don't know what God's will is. I don't understand what God... Start speaking. No, I know God's will. God speaks to me. God shows me things. I'm His child. He loves me. He talks to me. Hello, I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm listening. Like, whatever you got to do to build your faith up. And you know what's going to happen? Boom, 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 boom. Stuff's going to start happening. God's going to start talking to you. But you got to come in faith. You have an attitude of faith. Everyone say, attitude of faith. Now, we talked about the 5 ways that God communicates with us. What was the first one? Through the Word. Amen? God speaks to us through His Word. What was the second one? In a witness of the Holy Spirit. A Holy Spirit in you and me. What was the third one? Through others, that God will speak to us through others. What was the fourth one? Dreams, visions, and other supernatural stuff. That's right. And so what was the fifth one? Through circumstances. Now last week we focused on hearing God through His Word. Now how many of you this week, after being there last week or listening to the message on MP3 or learning more about it in cell, how many of you had God speak to you at some point through His Word? So we got a bunch of hands. We got a bunch of hands going. Now here's what I want to encourage you, is every single hand should go up. Why? Because God wants to know every single one of us. And the issue is not that He's not talking, He is. The issue is, are you tuned in and expecting and listening? How many know that right now in this room, there are thousands of radio waves flying through this room? There are radio waves. If we brought a radio receiver in here, we brought a radio, and we turned it on, all of a sudden voices would start speaking that we weren't hearing before. Voices would start coming. And one voice, and there would be music that came and all these things. And someone could look at that and say with the radio, say, whoa, where'd that voice come from? But you know what? The voice was there all the time. Do you see that? The voice was there all the time. All it took was for someone to turn the power on the radio and then tune in to hear the voice.
And see, faith is like that power switch, and you're the radio. God is speaking, but see, what you've got to learn to do is you've got to learn to believe, and that turns the switch on, and then all of a sudden, you'll start hearing God speak to you. And see, then you start learning to tune in, because some of you know sometimes you got to tune, it's kind of, you know, and you got like two stations, and then you get it, and you find it, you get it right. You guys remember, I know we're kind of getting out of the radio stage as much, and you know, we're just going on the internet, getting internet radio stations, but you tune in. Well, in the same way, we have to learn to tune into God's voice. And that's why we worship. When I worship, I'm tuning in. When I spend time in the Word, I'm tuning in. Before I preach every Saturday, I book my afternoon off. You can ask people around the house, don't come talk to me, don't call me, don't get in. Why? Because I'm not trying to tune into anybody else right now, I'm tuning into Him. And I invest time in tuning in, so when I'm here on Saturday night, I can be a clear voice of what God wants to speak through me. And I've been some weeks where I didn't spend the time tuning in, and you know what? It wasn't as clear. It didn't come forward as strong. And see, but every single one of us has the opportunity. God wants to speak to us. Now, we talked about God speaking to us through His Word. Everybody say, through the Word. Now, how many of us, God is speaking to us, but we're missing it because we're looking for the wrong thing? How many of us, God, see, and that's what's happened to a lot of you tonight, just as we've been studying this and teaching and preaching on this. God is talking to you. It's just, you don't know what you're looking for. You don't know how to receive it. Remember, Joel was telling me a story about, he does Buggy Boy in Costco, and so it's his official name, Buggy Boy. And so some lady came out, and she was absolutely distraught because someone had stolen her car. And so she was sure of it. Someone took her car. So Joel said, well, you remember where you parked? It's over there. It's gone. Well, then they ended up kind of walking around. I didn't get all the details from it. And she had actually parked in another area of Costco and forgot she parked over there. And then came out to a regular parking spot because a lot of different stuff was going on in her head. And came to a regular spot. The car was gone. She thought, somebody stole my car. But I mean, no, her car was there the whole time. She just wasn't looking in the right place. But see, how many of us, God is speaking to us. It's right there all the time, but we're just not looking in the right place. We're on the wrong side of the parking lot. Some of you are laughing at me because I got together with a pastor, actually already first meeting, I mean we connected really well, a guy named Ty and his wife, and someone said, I think it was Veronica, was laughing at me because I'm waiting for him, and she's like, you're waiting for him? I'm like, well, I don't know what he looks like. Because I had met him one time before a long time ago, you know, you don't know, or you don't remember what someone looks like? So I knew he was black and he was about my height. How many know in Scarborough Town Center that doesn't help you out too much? You know, it's just like, and so I'm waiting, and so he thankfully, you know, could go to the website and figure out, you know, and made the connection. So we did manage to connect, but you know what? If someone had told me, yeah, Ty has blonde hair, he's 5'4", I don't know, something like, you know, he's going to be wearing a blue shirt. How many know I'd be sitting there looking for someone who's blonde and 5'4" wearing a blue shirt? And I'm looking, and Ty could walk right by me. I wouldn't have a clue it was him. Why? Because I was looking for the wrong thing. But see, how many of us, God is speaking to us a lot, but because we're looking for the wrong thing, we never tune into it. See, last week we talked about God speaking to us through His Word. And see, I want you to understand, I want to just emphasize this again. God's Word is the foundation for everything in hearing God. God's Word is the foundation. Let's turn to, let me find the right scripture, John 14:26. John 14:26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things. Everyone say, teach you all things. Now, does that cover everything? Go on, people at the back, does that cover everything? Yeah, he says he's going to teach you all things. Now, if he's going to teach you stuff, what's he going to have to be doing? He's going to have to be speaking to you, isn't he? And see, Jesus said he's going to teach you all things. And now look what it says, though. It says, and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. In other words, you know what I draw from this? What is one of the main ways that Holy Spirit is going to speak to us? By reminding us what Jesus said to us. Now, Jesus is what? John chapter 1. Come on, what's Jesus? Come on, get with me here for a second. Some of you still looking at me like, what? Now, Jesus is the Word, isn't He? So if the Holy Spirit, He's going to bring to us remembrance what? He's going to bring the Word to us. So the number one way that God is going to speak to us is bring the Word back to our memory. Didn't you see that tonight? Joel came up with the Word from God. What was it relating to? Noah's Ark. Something from the Bible. Marlon came up and shared something. What was it relating to? The Word. See, and that's why a lot of us, we aren't looking to the Word for God to speak to us. We're looking for bright lights. We're looking for some angelic visitation, a hand across the wall, a deep voice behind us booming in the room. You know, we're looking for all this kind of stuff, but God wants to speak to us through the Word. He said the Holy Spirit's going to remind you of what the Word said. See, Joel was in service worshiping God, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brought just back to his memory. Now, did you hear a voice? Did you have a really weird feeling all over your body? Was it like a numbness and a floating? No, there wasn't. What happened? You remembered the story about Noah, didn't you? And all of a sudden you just knew how that applied to our situation. Yeah, and see, I don't know if that word was from anyone else tonight, but that was a word directly from God to me. Like you know, sometimes people give words of like, that was to me. I don't care if anyone else received from that one. I needed to hear that tonight. Because God spoke directly to me. So yeah, well, how did He do it? He brought remembrance of the Word. Marlon, did you hear a strange voice behind you? Besides whoever was singing behind you. No. Did you have any weird feelings? Did you see like a vision on the wall of Paul? No. No, what happened? What happened? It just came to you. You remembered the story, and all of a sudden you knew that, hey, this is how it all fits together, didn't you? See, that's how God works. Now, here's the point I really want you to catch. Can God speak to you about, can God remind you of something that you never knew?
No.
Can He remind you of something that you've never read?
No.
Can He remind you of something that you've never focused on or heard about before?
No.
So what's most of our problem? We don't read the Bible. We don't listen to people talk about the Bible too much. You know, if you come on Saturday night and you hear the Word for, you know, however long I preach, about an hour, and you get that, you know, that's not giving God a whole lot to work with. He can't remind you of something you've never read. He can't bring something. If Marlon had never read about the story about Paul and Silas, could God have reminded him of that? If Joel never read about Noah, could God have reminded him about that? So how much are you missing that God wants to speak to you because you're lazy about reading your Bible? How much are you missing because you're not investing the time to get into the Word? God's number one way He's going to speak to you is by reminding you of what His Word says. It is the foundation. It is the primary mode of operation. Now, we also talked about, tonight we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit inside of you. See, because these two work together. I say, well, no, they're like the dynamic duel. You say, you got Batman and Robin. And see, you got the dynamic duel. I mean, whatever you want to pull together, you've got the Word and the Holy Spirit, and they work together. So what I want to talk to you about tonight is, I just want you to catch that before we go on to the next scripture. How can God remind you of something you've never read? How can God remind you of something you've only read once, you don't remember it? Come on, you know you don't remember most stuff the first time you read it. Most of you don't remember my message by Tuesday or Wednesday. I was sitting in cell last week, and we were teaching, I said, how do you remember what I talked about on Saturday? You know, everyone starts getting no pain looks on their faces and stuff like that. I said, don't worry, that's okay. I said, some weeks by Thursday, I don't remember what I talked about on Saturday. I have to go back to my notes and look at it. But as soon as we brought it up, people started bringing stuff up. But see, you've got to get into it. If you are serious about God speaking to you, if you are serious about communicating with God more, then you need to be serious about this book right here. Because He is going to bring to remembrance what you've read. He's going to bring to remembrance what you brought to you. And the more you give Him the work with, the more He can speak to you. The more you give Him the work with, the more that He can show you and teach you. But nobody can do that for you. Nobody can get into this book for you. You've got to do it for yourself. But here's the good news. If you will commit, God, if we draw near to God, He will draw near to. In other words, if you start getting in the Word, I guarantee you, the first day, if you go with a purpose in your heart, God will start showing you stuff. He'll start speaking to you. He'll start showing you things through that word that apply to you. And you start coming to church, you're ready to hear a word from God. And God will start speaking to you, and God will start showing you stuff too. Amen? All right, now, next scripture. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. So I was focusing on the word. I think she's hungry. So we get in the word, she's going to get some milk. All right. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to go to verse 14 to 16. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading again to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. So, you know what? Actually, mark that scripture down. Study it this week. We're going to get to it another time. I want to stick on the word right now. We're going to go on this on another week. God wants to speak to you through his word. God wants to speak to you through this. If you are, what kind of things does God compare this book to? He talks about being a sword or it's a weapon. What else does he compare it to? Bread or food? What else does he compare it to? A mirror, milk, light, life, water. We talk about truth. And see, but listen, how many of us are serious about being disciples of Jesus? How many of us, put your hand up, are you serious? How many of us are serious about it? Well then, why aren't we more serious about this book? Why aren't we more serious about what is reading and studying and meditating on it? This is our weapon. You know, we're talking more and more and even discussing coming to the encounter that God has called us to be soldiers for Him. He's called us to take on the gates of the enemy. And the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And Jesus is building us. And see, but the problem with love is, I'm a soldier. Yeah. You got your gun. How do I hold this thing? It's like, what direction do I point it? You're pointing it at yourself. Or you got a rifle and you're trying to use it like a sword. You're on guard. You're doing all this kind of stuff. It's not going to work, is it? But see, a good soldier invests themselves in their weapon. They read it. They study it. They read about it. They practice with it. They get out in the firing range and they work with it. And if you're serious about being a soldier, then you need to be serious about your weapon. Yeah. One of the things God was just drilling me over, I'm not serious enough about this thing. This thing should be like glued to me. Like this is it. I've got to study it. I've got to understand it. If I'm going to be successful in spiritual warfare, I've got to start with this and end with this and have this in the middle. But see, most of us, we practice like, we get into the word like what? We do our 5 minutes a day and then we do a little, like we've got to grow past that. We talk about revival. We talk about an outpouring of the Spirit. We talk about a move of God. But a move of God happens when people start moving with God, and they're people, and the only way you're going to do that is if you're in this book. You cannot rely on Pastor Brendan to get in this for you. You cannot rely on your mother or your brother or your sister or your son or your daughter. You've got to get into this thing. You've got to study it. You've got to read it. You've got to meditate on it. You've got to just eat it and eat it and eat it. If you want to be successful, if you want to live a haphazard, haphazard kind of mediocre, average Christian walk, then show up at church, listen to the message, do a little, nice little devotion every day, and you'll be average. Why? Because that's what the average person does. How many people in here want to be better than average? See, one thing God spoke to me today when I was praying is God is raising up in His church, and I'll just say in Church Without Limits right now, believers of excellence. God has not called you to be average. God has not called you to be average in any way, in anything. God has not called you to be average in your relationship with Him. God has not called you to be average in the words that you speak to others for Him. God has not called you to be average in the way you conduct yourself. God has not called you to be average in your finances. God has not called you to be average in your family relationships. God has not called you to be average. And so many times we're just comparing ourselves to the average. We're just comparing ourselves to what everyone else does. Well, I'm not as bad as this person. Well, I do a little more than that person. Well, wait a minute. Get your eyes off the average. Where your eyes are is where you're going ahead. It's one thing you learn. I remember learning evasive driving maneuvers and stuff like that. Make sure you keep looking where you want to go, not where you're going. And see, tonight, you got to start getting your eyes on where you want to go. But see, God is stirring us up. Joel talked tonight about building an ark and preparing an ark. Well, the foundation that's going to keep that ark we're building together is right here. It is the Word. But we got to treat it like that. We got to treat this book, and not the pages and the leather, but I'm talking about the contents, the power it contains. If this book was in, if my Bible here was in French, it would do me no good. Because I don't know French. Just got an eye from Eddie. If you know French, it will do you good. If this was in Russian, it would do me no good. Why? Because it's not the book. It's the words and the concepts that I study and I grow and I understand. But we got to be serious about this thing. God is calling us tonight to a new level in His Word. He wants to talk to us. He wants to show us things. He wants to guide us. He wants to show us things that He doesn't show the average person. But if you want an above average revelation from God, then you're going to have to be an above average believer. You're going to have to step it up. See, you draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. The same intensity you draw near to Him with is the same intensity that He comes back to you towards. So in other words, if you're just chilling and kind of making your moves towards God every little step at a time, you know, He wants to come closer, but it operates as much as you're coming towards Him, that's how much He comes towards you. But if you're just running, you're going for all you're worth, you know what God's doing? He's running towards you. How hard are you running tonight? How serious are you taking this? God can't speak to you through something you've never read. God can't teach you something about something you've never studied, you've never looked at, you've never heard about. And this Bible is full of revelation and understanding and things that God wants to speak to you. But you have got to make a decision and a commitment that I'm going to get into this and give God something to work with. How much are you giving God to work with tonight? How much are you giving Him? You know, it's kind of sad in a lot of ways. It just in the church nowadays, we have lost a love for the Word of God. We have a lot of people who love worship. And that's not bad. I'm not knocking loving worship. But you know what? Worship is supposed to take us somewhere. And worshiping, see, we've got to understand is if we really want to know God, then we've got to listen for God speaking to us, don't we? And what's the number one primary way that He's spoken to us? See, worship, what you know what worship really does in a lot of ways? Worship prepares you to receive the Word from God. But see, how many of us can honestly say we love this Word tonight? How many of us can honestly say if we were stuck somewhere and we were allowed to bring one item? You know, we did an icebreaker in Cell a long time ago. We say, you're stuck in a desert island, you can only take one thing. What are you going to do? What are you going to take? Yeah, only one? Yeah, only one. Well, you know, everyone's trying to think, okay, we're in Cell, it's a church thing, I have to give a spiritual answer. You know? I'm taking my Bible. But how many of us honestly would? I said I'd take a satellite cell phone, call an emergency and get them to come get me. I was like, you're cheating. I'm like, no, you said I could take anything I want to. But how many of us really love this Word? See, any group of people that experience a mighty move of God, that experience an outpouring of God, that are seeing stuff like they're seeing in Bogota, Colombia, for example, where the church is 400,000 plus. They're young people, just their youth network or their youth group, you know, pretty big youth group. They won 160,000 people to Jesus last year. Now, we can do that kind of stuff. But one of the foundational ingredients we're going to have is we're going to have to love this thing like we don't love anything else. We're going to need to spend more time with this than we are with our PlayStation, our Xbox, our MSN, our DVD player, our cable. You say, well, I'm not there yet. Well, listen, ask God to birth that in you and get there. You know, you take one step at a time, but that is where we need to be. A lot of us, we kind of have this impression like everyone talks about this great move of God that's coming. And we're like, yes, this move of God is coming. And we just like, it's just like one day, it's suddenly just going to appear. No, you know where it starts? In you, in me, right here in our hearts. If there's revival in you, there will be revival in Church Without Limits. If there is an explosion of Holy Spirit in you, then when we all come together, it's just an even bigger explosion. But you know, a lot of us, we don't want to take personal responsibility for ourselves. We want to not have it in us, but go to somewhere where they have it. Instead of saying, God, start with me. God, start in me. I'm not going to worry about what anyone else is doing or what anyone else is saying. Father, I want your love in me. I want to be so hungry for you. I want to be so hungry for this word that when I wake up, it's not a chore to get up and read, but it is a pleasure. I'm excited about getting up in the morning and getting into your word. I'm excited about the times I get to spend in this. And even sometimes when I don't feel that excited, I understand that discipline will turn to desire, which will end up turning to the light. So I'm just going to keep being disciplined at it, and pretty soon my discipline is going to turn to desire, and I just keep doing that, and then my desire is going to start turning into a delight. But you know what? You've got to make a commitment. Nobody can do it for you. Church Without Limits is not going to accomplish the call that God has on us with just a couple people being full force on fire for God. It's not going to accomplish it if just cell leaders are on fire for God. It's not going to be accomplished. It's just cell leaders have a hunger and a passion for God's Word. Every single one of us has got to develop that. Do you have a passion for God's Word tonight? Do you have a hunger for God's Word tonight? He wants to speak to you. He wants to show you things. He wants to teach you things. Every day He wants to speak new things to you. But He's primarily going to do it through the Word. And the second point I want to bring to you is, if you aren't even giving His Word the time of day, why would He speak to you through any other means or any other methods? He's given, I mean, it's basic. It's right there in front of you. What are you doing with what He already gave you? Why would He give you any more if you're not utilizing what He's given to you? Some people talk about, oh, I want more anointing, Lord. I want more anointing. What are you doing with the anointing you have? Do you need more anointing because you're giving anointing out? Or are you just keeping it all to yourself? You don't need any more. You're not doing anything with what you have. You see, God is calling us tonight to step up. God is calling us to step out. I mean, you saw just some of the powerful testimonies of what God did in people's lives at Encounter. And I said the first night we got in the encounter, I said, you know, this weekend you may feel stuff, you may not. It is jam-packed. We go for it. If you're looking for a holiday weekend to go away and chill, do not come to an encounter. This is spiritual boot camp. We get in there from start to finish, and it's all about Jesus. Amen? Encounter people? You know, some of you looked at that schedule the first night, you went, oh Lord, what have I gotten myself into? 7:30 a.m. session. That's right. I'm not going to hide it from you. I'm not going to be like, oh yes, we're going to suntan on the beach. Then we get there. Ha, I tricked you. There's no beach. I mean, I'll tell you straight up from the start. If you want to grow with God, come. If you want to play games, stay home and play Xbox. Because we're not into playing games with God. We're into being serious and going for it. But listen, I said at the start, it starts and finishes with the Word. It's the Word of God that changes you. It's the Word of God that makes a difference in your life. It's the Word of God that is your bread. It's the Word of God that is your weapon. It's the Word of God that is your water. It's the Word of God that is your light. It's the Word of God that brings peace. It is the Word of God that you can base your joy on. The Word of God, hearing it and then obeying it, is the foundation for everything in your Christian life. But are you treating it that important or that serious? How do you view God's Word tonight? God wants to talk to every single one of us. Well, I'm going to say God wants to talk to me. He wants to talk to you. But the number one He's going to talk to you is right here. So open it up and start talking. Open it up and start listening, and God's going to start showing you stuff. He's going to start teaching you stuff. There's no one here who should go out this week and come back next week and say, how many people heard from God? Everyone's hand should be up. Because God wants to talk to you. God wants to speak to you. He wants to show you things. And He's going to do it through His Word. The Holy Spirit will remind you of things that Jesus spoke. Now, there are some other ways and other things that happen, but that is the primary way. And what I want everyone to catch tonight off this message and catch off the anointing of what God's doing tonight is I want you to be so hungry for this thing. Come on, how have you ever been hungry?
Now, how many of you are right now? Hurry up and stop, Pastor Brandon. I want to go to East Side. Now, how many of you have ever been hungry? You know what I mean? There's hungry and then there's hungry. Anybody know? Chris Watts' famous line, a hungry man is an angry man. And so, but see, how many of us have been hungry for this? See, I want you to catch that. I want you to leave this place so hungry for God's Word that you're more interested in getting in the Word than you are in watching television. You're more interested in getting the Word than you are in getting online and getting the Internet. You're more interested in it than Sports Illustrated or whatever, you know, magazines, your National Geographic or your fishing magazine or your shopping stuff or whatever else. And see, you got to... Now listen. Now a lot of people might sit here tonight and say, we'll bring this right to a close right now. A lot of people, you might sit here and say, well, you know what? You might say, I just don't have that right now, Pastor Brennan. The Word is, it's hard to read it. It's just like, you know, I read the Word if I want to go to sleep. Like, that's just where I'm at right now. Well, you know, it's true. I mean, we've all been there and done that. And stuff like that. And listen, what I want to challenge you tonight is that is not okay. Now, it doesn't mean you're a terrible Christian or you're whatever else, but that is not natural. That is not normal. If you've received Jesus, it's normal for you to be hungry for this thing. And I want you to challenge yourself tonight and say, God, whatever has to change in me, whatever you have to do, I want to have a hunger for your Word. It is normal to be ravenous, hungry for God's Word. That is what normal Christians are like. If you're not, something's wrong. And you can change that at any time, but I want to stir you up and I want to challenge you to get hungry and say, God, whatever has to happen, I want to be hungry for your Word. For how many people tonight, you say, I want to be hungry for God's Word. No matter whatever has to happen, I want to have that hunger. God, you see every hand that's raised, you see every person's heart. And Father, I pray you'd birth in us because we can do nothing of eternal value on our own. Holy Spirit, I pray you'd birth in us a deeper hunger for your Word because you want to speak to us, but you're going to speak to us through this Word in Jesus' name. Carla? You put a really good post on the website. Come share about it.
Pardon?
Thank you.
I remember now. I was reading 2 Corinthians, and it talks about stuff from the beginning. I was worshiping God. This was morning time. I was spending time with God, and I was really, really struggling, like what Pastor Brandon was talking about earlier today. I was just not feeling it. And I was like, okay, I'm going to open up the Bible, and I'm going to start. And then a scripture popped into my head. It was, It was not the be reconciled to God part. It's in 2 Corinthians. Maybe I can get it for you. 5:18? Not the whole thing popped into my head, just a piece of it. The part that says,
Hold up. Now it popped in your head, or God spoke it to you?
God spoke it to me. He gave me one word, and I believe it was reconciliation. And the scripture is 2 Corinthians 5, 18-19. Write it down, it can change your life. It says, now all things are of God, who's reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Another translation says, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting men's sins against them. I started thinking about that, and I just got the most amazing view of the cross. And I just saw that God, man, like reconciliation means to bring back, to restore, basically, to restore relationship. God started speaking to me about that through his word. Just that reconciliation is such a strong thing, you know? If it wasn't for what Jesus did on the cross, we could never have a relationship with him. Like, it's just amazing. And had I not read this scripture before, because I've read it before, he wouldn't have been able to bring it back to me. And for two, it's the word, you know? Like, I couldn't have got that outside of it. And it was just amazing, because I really saw that the word is powerful in itself. Like, sometimes we go to worship, we say, oh God, I need a touch from you, I need to change, I'm going to worship God, or something needs to change in me, God, so I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask. But no, God completely changed me, completely changed the way I looked at the cross. He completely, my love, my respect for what Jesus did changed just by reading that one verse. It was one verse, you know, I just opened up the Bible and I just read it. Just one. You think you have to read, like, you know, and you got to find, oh, you got a cross reference. No, one verse completely changed me, and it was just the power of the Word.
Amen. Amen. Seeing the power, and one thing that stuck in me so much, she said, is a lot of us are looking for all this other stuff, but the real power lies in the Word. And you make a commitment to get in that Word and to get that Word in you. It is going to totally change your life around. You know, you don't have to wait till encounter to have an encounter with God. It's going to be powerful, but you know what? If you get the Word, you can start right now. But here's the challenge I want to put to every person. God's putting a challenge to us tonight. How serious are you going to be? Is this going to be another message where you go, yeah, it was a great message, or, well, okay, yeah, that was pretty good, or whatever else you say, go out, go to East Sides, chill, go home, and never change anything, never do anything in your life? Or are you going to make a commitment tonight, say, you know what, I'm taking it a step higher, I'm turning it up a notch, I'm turning up the heat on this baby, I'm going deeper. You do that. This is the key to everything. The key to everything you would ever face or ever deal with is found right in this book. Amen, Michael? But are we treating it like that? Are we treating it as a religious duty? Let's bow our heads. Let's just let God minister to us for a second this week. It's been a little bit of a longer night, but I want you right now to focus in on God. Focus in and receive from God. The Spirit is willing. Your flesh might be battling you, saying, oh, my butt hurts on this wooden pew. Da, da, da. I want you to put all that aside and focus right now. Because I believe that God is going to impart to people tonight a deeper hunger for His Word. Now, you'll have your part to do. It's not just God taking care of everything and doing it all for you. You got your part to play, but I believe He's going to birth something inside every single person who wants to receive it. All of us need to be more hungry for God's Word. All of us need to have a deeper hunger for the Word. All of us need to spend more time in the Word. Now, just let God speak to you. Now, just on that note, one thing the Word talks about, one thing God talks about very clearly in the Bible is that, like Michael said, sin separates us from God. Jesus reconnects us with God. And if you're sitting in this place tonight and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are disconnected from God. And the Bible tells us that as hard as it is to say, when you die, you will face judgment because of your sins, because of the things you've done wrong. A lot of people like to say, oh, I'm a good person. You know, I've done this, I've done that. You know what? When we compare ourselves to the Ten Commandments, or the summary of the laws of God that God has given, how many of us have disrespected our parents at some point? We deserve punishment. You don't have to put your hands up for that right now. I see. How many of us have ever lied? How many of us have ever stolen? Well, I've never stolen anything big. I didn't say big. It's how many of us have stolen. See, because of that, every single one of us deserves punishment. But God sent Jesus, and Jesus died for us to save us from punishment and to bring salvation to us. But here's the catch. We got to receive it. We got to be willing to repent, to turn away from sin, to turn away from the things of the world, and receive Jesus. And I just want to give an opportunity to anybody tonight. Maybe this is something you've never seen anything like this before. Maybe this is like, whoa, they didn't do this in the church that I grew up in. You know what? It's just about people who love God and people who are getting close to knowing God. And see, if you're in this place tonight, you recognize if I die tonight, I'm not sure I'm right with God. I'm not sure I'd be in heaven. You have an opportunity right now to get right with God. But you're going to have to receive it. Now, there might be some people you say, I received that at some point, but I turned my back on it. I went my own direction. And you say, but tonight I want to get back on point. I want to get back. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. If there's anyone in those categories, I want you to put your hand up because I want to pray with you. Thank you. I see that hand there. Anybody else tonight say, I want to be right with God or I want to rededicate my life to Him? Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else tonight? I'm not looking for people. I'm just going to make a one-night little... I'm looking... You know, I was reading in Acts today, and it talked about a number of the priests became obedient to the faith. That's not just go up one time, pray a little prayer. It's about daily becoming obedient to God's word and to what he says. Come on, anybody else say, you say, I want to rededicate my life, or I want to give my life to Jesus. I know in my heart there's a couple more people tonight. God is calling you. Don't let fear hold you back. Don't let pride hold you back. Don't let worrying about, oh, what's this person going to think about me? What's this person going to think about me? It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters right now is it's you and God. And you need to be right with him. Anybody else in this place tonight? I'm not going to hold it forever, but I know there's some more people here tonight. You need to make this step. You know right now you need to make it. This is right in there. You know that's something I need to do. That's what I need. You've been searching and looking. You're saying, this is what I need. Well, one last call. Anybody else? You can get back on point. So I want everyone to stand up. And what I'm going to ask is I'm going to ask the people who raised their hands up, if you could just take a bold step, come out from your seat where you are and come join me at the front, because I want to pray with you. If you got to grab someone beside you and say, come on, I got to go, and pull them with you or whatever else, I just want you to step out from where you are and come forward tonight. I'm going to make you, but you know what? Jesus called everyone publicly that he called. Amen. Come on, anybody else? You know, you see, you know, some people, I bet you some nights they sat there and they go home and they thought, I knew I should have gone. I knew I should have been there. I knew I should have done it. Come on, I'll give you one more chance. I won't go clap for you and cheer for you anyway. See, just make everybody else happier. So, anybody else? I know it's a bold step. I know it's a big step. But you know what? It's really nothing compared to... You know, if you need to get back on point tonight, get back on point. Come on tonight. I'm going to hold it one second, because God's just saying there's somebody else that I'm just drawing. God's just like, and listen, don't turn away the voice of the Holy Spirit tonight. Come on, Max, you remember that first night you came out to that concert? You didn't come, you're crying at home. You're like, I'm going to hell. Listen, you can go to, you go up tonight and be like, oh, I should have gone. You can go, man, I'm glad I went. That was the best decision I ever made. Fear's going to try and hold you back. But I just got, you know, I don't usually pause up like this. There's somebody else here tonight. Warren, you're sensing it too, huh? There's somebody else here that really, God's just drawing you. He's loving on you tonight. Just shake off fear. Shake off everything else. You know, you might be afraid, oh, if I rededicate again and then I mess up again. Look, throw that all to the wind and just say, I'm doing this. I'm getting this thing done. And no matter how many times I fall, I'm just getting back up, getting back on the horse and going for it again. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God.
I want you guys to check something out. It's in Luke. It says that when a person repents, the angels throw a party in heaven. Now, a lot of people could think, well, that's cool. The moment I stepped up the first time, the angels threw a party in heaven. That's what Aubrey told me. He was all excited. He was smiling. But if you've fallen since the day you got born again, notice the scripture did not say when you get born again that the angels throw a party. It said when you repent. So if you make moves towards God and you get born again tonight, or say last Saturday it was, and then Sunday you ended up doing something that contradicted God's will, something that broke his heart, something that we would call sin, I want you to understand that the angels will throw another party in heaven if you decide to make a 180 with his help. Amen? The angels throw a party for those who repent, not those who are born again. If you're truly born again, that means you at one point made a decision you're going to repent. But if since then, You can't be unborn again. You understand? You can just be a kid who's starving. So you need to get at the dinner table and eat the bread of life. Repent. If you guys are serious, you're repenting. The angels are throwing a party for me. I don't care if you guys have been Christians longer than me. You understand what I'm saying? If you're making a move of repentance, angels are throwing a party, and I'm going to throw a party with you. I'm going to be the keyboard to prove it.
One other thing is, for the person who's feeling conviction right now, and they're feeling like drying, but they're like, no, and there's different things in your mind stopping you, the only reason you're feeling that dry is because God loves you and has a plan for your life. He wouldn't put a drawing on your heart if He didn't. You'd be that person who's sitting in the back line and you literally feel nothing. You go, well, why don't I feel nothing? I don't know God. I don't feel nothing. If you don't know God and you're feeling that tone, that's because He wants to know you so much. And if you have a misconception about who God is or you've had bad experience in the past, trust Him. Trust that drawing. Trust your heart. Don't trust your mind. Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. That means trust with your heart and don't let your mind get in the way. Understanding is in the mind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Trust that drawing right now. Trust Him and say, yo, the only reason I'm feeling that conviction, the only reason I'm feeling that pressure to go up is because God loves me. He wants me to be part of His family too. He wants me to have one of those testimonies that someone had up on the front where they're so free that they can't, don't know what to do with themselves. He wants that for you just as much. He loves nobody else in this room more than He loves you. Just as much.
Amen. One last. God's just really, God's working for somebody tonight. He loves you so much, He's just keep this working, this thing, to get you to step up. Anybody else? One last call tonight. Anyone else? You know you need to be up here. You need to get back on point. I just sent you through the words that are coming. So rededication. Someone, you've been away from God and God's calling you back tonight. Like St. Joel said, it's worth it. It is worth everything you have to do and everything you have to deal with. Just remember, God never quits on you. You may have quit on God, but God never quits on you. Amen. Amen. Well, here's what we want to ask. Come on, let's just stretch our hands forward towards these guys who are up here, and let's just pray into them. You were up here at one point, or you were at this position at some point, and someone was praying for you, so return the favor. And while you're up here, I want you to repeat after me right now. Just say, Father, I recognize that I need you. I repent from sin. I turn from wicked ways. And I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I thank you, as I prayed with a pure heart, that I'm now right with you. I'm your son or daughter. I'm your kid. All my sins are forgiven. I said all my sins are forgiven. I said all my sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Come on, let's just pray for a second. I just sense God really wants to do work right now. Come on, just stretch your hands forward, pray for Him. In Jesus' name, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, fresh starts tonight, in Jesus' name. Fresh starts tonight, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that all the past is washed away. Father, that all mistakes, all regrets, God, are washed away right now, in Jesus' name. All mistakes, all regrets are washed away in Jesus' name. And Father, that there has not been, that sometimes people can feel like, oh, I've just messed it up too much. God cannot fix this. I've just screwed it up too much. God can never turn this around. And Father, I just sense tonight that you are speaking in each person's life that this is nothing for me to turn it around. That if I can make the world out of nothing, then I can definitely do something with the mess that you would bring to me. And nothing's impossible for me, says God. Nothing is impossible. So trust me and believe me and take it one day at a time, one step at a time. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. right, here's what I want to ask. All you guys came forward, we just want to bless you with the Bible and pray with you a little more. So I just want to ask if you just kind of head right through those doors with Joel's going to be directing to make sure we got someone with everyone who's come forward. And just kind of head on through. Hey, Joel, actually come here. Real quick. Two things. One, for anybody who felt that dry and didn't come up, the fact that this is what came to my heart. The fact that you feel that drawing means you're legitimate. God wouldn't draw you unless you were legitimate, unless you were worthy of your child, unless you were allowed being his child. The second thing is, some people might have prayed that prayer and said, "Well, I'm just going to do it on my own." You know why they take attendance at school? It's because if someone tried to go from grade one to OAC by themselves, they would never make it. It's on those days where you don't feel like getting up. You know someone's taking attendance at school. They're going to be checking up on you. They're going to be phoning your parents. It's not practical. That's why you come to the front, so that you can become accountable. So it's a safety thing. If you're serious about this thing, come to the front. Become accountable to someone, because it's so practical. You're not going to make it on your own. It's as simple as you're not going to make it through OEC trying to do your math and learn your math in the bed. You'd be counting numbers, all right? Appreciate that. That's all.
All right, cool.
You guys can just follow Joe right there. I want to give you a Bible and just spend a little more time praying in you. Come on, let's give him a hand as they go tonight. Now here's, as we close off, just want to put a reminder, everyone, get out to cells this week. Get out these sides after service. We're going to be over there. These sides having a lot of fun. But here's what I want to say. If you're in this place tonight, you're saying, you know what? I need a deeper hunger for God's Word. I need a deeper hunger for God's Word in my life, and a deeper hunger for the Word of God in me. And what I want to do is I want to ask you just, if that's you tonight, you're saying that's just God speaking that to you. Not you're putting your hand up because you feel like you have to, whatever else. I want you to put your hand up. Saying God's calling me to a deeper level in the Word. Saying God's calling me to have a deeper hunger tonight in the Word. My hand's up. I'm not just doing it because I'm trying to get you to do it. I need a deeper hunger for the Word. I need a deeper passion for God's Word. Here's what I'm going to ask. If that's you tonight, I want you to come out from where you are. I want you to come forward to the front. We're just going to have a ministry time. We're going to have some laying on hands, and I believe that a deeper hunger for God's Word is going to be imparted into every person. I'm going to ask Mom and Dad both to help join me in laying hands on people. And any other cell leaders who aren't occupied, if you as well, can come up and just be prepared. Okay, if you guys keep moving forward, Aubrey's going to lead us some worship. I'm just kind of coming into space. You can just face forward, and I was going to lead us some worship. Come on, keep coming. Lots of people are coming forward tonight. Praise God. We're going to have a hungry church. Now, we're going to clean up, and they're going to be known as our plan. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Come on forward. Thank you. We're just going to have a kind of laying on hands. Receive. Here's what we want to do. Like I said, time flies. We're having fun. We've been having fun tonight. So we're going to officially close right now. If you need to go, please feel free to go. And as well, too, I just want to make it clear to everybody, we try and do this every week. We try and follow the Holy Spirit. Some weeks that means stuff goes longer. If you've got something you have to go to, if you've got, you have to get up early for work or something like that, if you need to go, don't feel bad or guilty about leaving out. You've been here, you've received. If you have to go, don't feel bad about it. You know, if you know you might have to leave early, sit close to the back. You don't have to, no one's looking down at you for leaving early or whatever else. We want to have an open atmosphere where people are excited about God and feel freedom. Amen? Amen. But how many know that sometimes you didn't feel like staying, but when you did stay, that's when you received the most. You know that too? So amen. So we're just going to lead in worship. If you need to go, please feel free to go. See everybody at Eastside. Get out to a cell this week. And all you guys are up here, here's what I want you to do. God's going to impart to you tonight a deeper hunger for His Word. I guarantee it, if your heart's open.
He will impart that to you. What I want you to do is I just want you to focus completely on Him. Don't focus on a person praying for you. Don't focus on anyone else around you. Aubrey's going to lead us to worship. You just start worshiping God. You focus on Him. You get ready to receive. Amen? Come on, it's just, I want you just to lift your hands up right now. Everyone wants to receive this today. Father, you see every hand that's raised and you see every heart that is attached to those hands. And Father, I thank you that you are going to give each person what they're believing for according to their faith. And Father, I thank you as the ministry team lays hands on people tonight. Father, that they are going to receive a deeper hunger for your word. Father, each one of them, I want you to confess right now, just say, I believe, I receive a deeper hunger for the word. Come on, say it again. I believe, I receive a deeper hunger for the word. One more time. I believe, I receive a deeper hunger for the word. Amen, amen. Now, one last thought as well. I want to ask that unless you're a cell leader, you've been specifically given permission by church leadership, please don't pray for people. And the only reason I ask that is for protection of people at the altar. It's not just a free-for-all where you want to go and pray. We want people who are known and prove their dedication to God. The only people who are laying hands, so you don't have to worry about some funny person coming and laying their hands on you and bringing some funny thing into you or something. The only people. So I just ask that if you've not been given direct permission, please seek God and just refrain from laying hands and praying for someone else. Amen? Amen.
to